time to tell the neighbors all they ever show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
And we're coming on the air as Glenn is, of course, speaking about something dirty that we can't talk about on the air.
Glenn! I'm sorry.
What was, of all things to take out of that song, that's what you took?
I'm sorry.
Holy mackerel.
It's being a minister's kid. It always made me unruly in that area.
Now, right before that, you said there was something you thought we should broach on the air.
Yeah. One of the things that always annoys me.
But I want to say this before you get to that. If you ever want to know what I do during the breaks here,
yeah,
I vacuum the floor.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was vacuuming during the break.
Now, and you didn't have any PPEs on or any mask or anything.
No.
You went right at it.
I went right at it. I said, heck with this. We're going to get this floor clean.
Tell me, why do people get mad at you and don't tell you why they're mad at you?
That's the subject you want to broach.
Yeah, I it's happened to me recently, and I can take somebody saying to me, Glenn, you have a dirty mouth, or Glenn, you have, I brush my teeth, I don't know why, or Glenn, you're ugly, or I can take. Well, no, I can't take that. That would be bad. But most things I can take, but. Trying to figure out why somebody's mad at me always bothers me. Does it bother you?
No.
Okay, yeah, I that's what I figured your answer would be.
No, does it bother me when people are angry with me?
And they don't tell you?
No, not really. I just figure they're angry.
Well, I guess that's a laissez-faire way of doing
well,
it.
Well, here's the...
It'll be what it'll be.
Well, I do have a little French in me. But it's... here's the problem.
Do you kiss funny? Yeah, never mind.
It's all the French thing.
Yeah, okay.
But no, here's the whole problem with that. And I've ran into this in my life. But the point is, if you don't want to tell me why you're angry, okay. I mean, I can't make you tell me why you're angry. But I will not... Here's something I won't do. If somebody's angry at me, I'm not going to be angry with them.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, just because they're angry with me, I'm not going to be angry with them. And I see that happen a lot.
Well, my mother always told me it's easier to forgive than it is to hate. And I even mentioned that yesterday on my show. And I really agree with that. But it gets so annoying sometimes in your head. What did I do that made that person mad at me? I'm not good at responding to that. if you can tell, and I bet you can tell, I can tell when somebody's mad at me and I don't know why. What do you do do you ask them or
no.
Do you no?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't either. I don't like that confrontation of.
Oh, I don't care about the confrontation.
No.
I just don't ask because I figure if you are, if you're angry at me, I think you have a character flaw. So I figure maybe it's best I'm not friends with you.
That's kind of interesting. You blame it on that person. That's one way to handle it.
Because if you can't like this man, you got problems.
Yeah, well. He was smiling when he said that, by the way.
No, the truth of the matter is no, I don't try to dive deep on that. If you want to be mad at me, okay.
Okay.
You know, it's your right to be mad.
Okay. So maybe I ought to just let this go.
Yeah.
Let sleeping dogs lie.
Well, somebody said this one time. there are two quotes here that I think are important, and I'm not going to quote them directly. These are paraphrases. But essentially they are, nothing gives one person more advantage over another as to always remain cool and unruffled during all circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're angry at me, okay, get angry, that's fine. But I'm always going to have the upper hand in that because I'm not angry at you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to think about it rationally.
So you're legitimately not angry. It's not that you're covering up your anger.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just legit because I'm not angry.
You don't care.
So they can come at me all they want, but I'm going to just try to understand them where that anger comes from.
I try to do that on Facebook and stuff like that. I try, you know, if somebody is angry at me, I try just to not respond to that. I assume that's what you would do.
Yeah, I don't respond to anger.
Yeah.
I just blow it off.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that there's that quote. And then the other quote is, anger only eats you.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't eat the other person.
No.
So I can't spend my... You know, if you want to be angry at me and I don't know why, okay... But I can't spend my time wondering why you're angry.
And putting effort into it.
Yeah, putting effort into that, because then I'm not going to do what I want to do and be happy.
Okay. Well, young man just taught an old man how to handle.
Wasn't that brilliant, Glenn?
Yeah.
I'm going to start taking doctor's calls.
Yeah. Don't do it.
It's a very philosophical approach to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you
I don't think you can always be that way, can you? Are you always that way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's not much, you know, there's a lot of gray in my life, but it's...
You're wearing it today.
Yeah, I'm wearing gray today. There's a lot of gray in my life, but it's not... I can't try to spend my life figuring people out. Now,
yeah.
I will listen to somebody all day long. I will try to help people the best I can. I will try to fix people. I'm a problem fixer. You know, if you give me a problem, I'll try to fix it. If you want me to give you advice, I'll do all that. But when it comes to me personally, if you've got some animosity toward me, well, I'm sorry you do, but I can't fix that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well... And I notice I'm wearing gray today. It's a gray day.
It's a gray day.
And it's gray outside.
And it's gray outside. Last day of April. But this comes back to the reason that I can let people leave my life and not be overly emotional about it. Because I figure if you want to leave, that's your right.
Okay.
And why? I mean, there are other people in my life. It's not like everybody's left. So why concentrate on the person who's left and not the people who are still there, who want to be there, and who show... You know, here's a big thing in life. People a lot of times show you that they want to be in your life, and they show it in different ways. Some people go out of their way to be in your life, that they don't have to. You know, they'll bring you food. They'll bring you drink. They'll call you on the phone. They will send you letters. They'll send you notes. They'll tell you openly why they want to be in your life. They'll ask to do things with you that... You know, so that to me is showing you want to be in the life. Okay, that's important. This person doesn't want to do that.
Well, you know,
adios.
One of the problems that I found, especially having been in a kind of a position where people knew who I was, is quite often it's not very sincere that they want to be in your life. They just want to be your friend so they can tell everybody, oh, I'm a friend of his.
Go ahead, caller.
Uh-oh.
Are you there, caller?
Okay,
we have had more trouble with the phones in this hour.
Well, I talked too long. I'm sorry, caller.
You think that's what that...
Yeah.
If that's you, call back in. Yeah. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
Now, I had problems yesterday when I went on the air that the radio out in the lobby was playing something different than what we were doing, and it wasn't the 30-second delay. So maybe that we are having a little gremlins in our electronics.
Well, apparently two gremlin phone calls in the last two hours.
Yeah,
that's phone lines are open if you want to call in.
So. And the last one we could hear, somebody was there at some point. Yeah, oh well.
You know, we have the number. I don't know if there's something just going on that's...
Well, I think we've taken care of everybody's problems today.
You think we've solved the world's problems?
Yeah. That one annoys me, though, about the people that... won't tell you why they're mad at you, but I really believe that's kind of an interesting thing about the celebrity syndrome. celebrity people, and I'm using that term very, very loosely, much like using the term icon. But
I understand that.
Celebrity people get more people want to talk to them on Facebook. If you ever pull up a Facebook of somebody that's fairly well known, you'll see thousands of people are their friend. You pull mine up, 70 people are my friends, you know, and probably half of them don't even know who I am. But celebrities tend to get more people wanting to be their friends.
Yeah, but I don't know what that's about.
It's about them trying to share your publicity, your notoriety, I believe.
But how does that rub off on them?
They're weird.
Yeah, I don't know how that would rub off on them.
No, I truly believe, and I've known a lot of people like this because of my former positions, I truly believe they think it rubs off on them. I really believe that people who want to be friends with celebrities think that now I can tell everybody I'm friends with them, so that makes me more important. I know a lot of people that wanted to be friends with some of my players. One of my players was the first round draft pick, and he had more friends than you could shake a stick at. He was, and you knew those friends were there for only one thing, and that was to be able to say, "I'm a friend of Mark Aguirre."
But what does that do for you?
Well, it doesn't do anything for me, and I'm the type of person, I do not. Do you ever ask for an autograph?
No, I have
I
a
don't
hard time
either.
With that.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think I should, because when I am doing it, it's after I interview somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, well, I should, this is a memory for me, you know, that
yeah, but
that I interviewed this
you
person.
Can memory, you can remember it without
oh,
having
not,
an,
not after,
a signature.
Not after, no. There, you know, I've forgotten people I've interviewed. I look in there and I think, wow, I forgot doing that.
You're really a shallow person.
There's so many. You only have so much room in your brain, Glenn.
Oh, my.
And I remember the big ones, but I don't remember all the small ones.
Yeah, you'll forget me tomorrow.
You know, it's easy to forget.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of consternation in my life when it comes to that. I think, okay, well.
I couldn't even remember Sean Connery's name.
Couldn't remember Sean, how fleeting it is.
Yeah, but yeah. I do remember Jimmy Durante, and a lot of people don't remember him.
He had a big nose.
Yeah, big nose, and good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
What was that all about?
I don't know, and I'm sure that there's a reason why he said that. And I imagine it's, we could probably Google it and find out, but I'm not going to.
People used to have good outros.
Yeah.
They don't anymore.
Yeah, no. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We're done. See you tomorrow.
Well, I think all the good ones were taken.
Yeah, all the good ones. But yeah. See, but no, that was great. Nobody took Mrs. Calabash.
No, absolutely. And you know what? I told Jimmy when I met him. He was old when I met him, and he was a favorite of my grandfather, and I told him that, and that kind of
Made him mad.
Yes.
He was an old man.
Yeah. I said, my grandfather loved you, and I got a glare.
You made Jimmy Durante angry. We're coming back on the other side. Stay tuned.
Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, Charlie Evers Show, Glenn Coble and Scott Spears sitting in for Charlie Evers on this last day of April, 2020, 31 minutes past the hour.
People ought to call me up and ask for my autograph because my grandson was just put on the top 20 pitchers.
Yes, this is good.
He was just made one of the top 20 left pitchers on the national watch scene as, and he's only a freshman in high school, but the, I know the reason why they like him. He's a left-handed 6'4" pitcher, and but he doesn't want to be a pitcher. He throws 85 at 14 years old, and but he doesn't want to be a pitcher. He wants to be a first baseman or an outfielder.
You know, this is what I wanted to talk about at the end of hour one that I forgot.
Sure.
I hate that baseball's not going on.
Me too.
I love baseball.
I like to watch my Cubbies.
Oh, the Cubs. And I had planned to take a trip to Chicago this year to just go in for the day and maybe one night. And
I didn't used to like you, but I like you now that you're
like
a Cub fan.
Oh, no, yeah. And my plan was to go to Chicago,
uh-huh.
and cause it's only 6 hours.
Yep.
Go to Chicago, go down to Harry Carey's,
yep.
which I love Harry
Been
Carey's.
There. Yep.
Beautiful place, great Italian food. Best Italian food you'll ever eat in your life. This is a real...
Really? I had steak when I was there.
Oh, have the calamari.
Oh, I bet the calamari's good.
Pasta, yeah. Lasagna, whatever. So go down to Harry, and you go into the bar side, and you get your mozzarella marinara, and you have a drink, mm-hmm. and then you go over to the restaurant side when they call your number, and you have your big meal, and they sell all kinds of Harry Carey merchandise in there, holy cow, and all that.
And if you don't get filled up, you can go over to Wacker Drive, go downstairs, and that place where they have cheeseburger is there.
Well, but then Jack Brickhouse's new place
yeah.
opened up over, and I'm friend with Jack Brickhouse's wife, so uh-huh. we're good. I'm friends with Harry Carey's wife. So head over to Jack Brickhouse's and eat some more, and then go to the Cubs game. And the Cubs tickets are fairly cheap now. Oh, and they've
been, are they?
Yeah. And the tickets.
What is fairly cheap?
Well, it just depends on what game.
35 bucks, 40 bucks.
Yeah, I've been less than that at some okay. points. So go over to the Cubs game and watch the Cubbies, and then hit a few other spots in Chicago that are fun, mm-hmm. and stay the night and leave the next morning.
Oh, you just warmed my heart.
Yes, that was my plan. And now what?
Yeah. Nothing. Well, you can turn on TV and watch the Cubs win the 2016 World Series against my American League
I was there.
Team. Oh, that's right. You were there. Yeah. And that was quite a game.
It was quite a game.
Yeah.
It certainly was.
And I thought the Cubbies had lost it, but I was okay because I do love the Indians.
Best World Series ever.
Yeah, it must have been.
It really was.
Yeah.
But so here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to start playing baseball. So since we can't have baseball.
Wait, how can you play baseball as one person?
No, not one person. You got to have somebody pitching the ball to you.
Okay.
So I'm going to get together.
My wife's a good pitcher.
Well, I don't care if it's kids or if it's adults or whatever it is.
Be careful.
Get a ball and a bat.
Don't get too close.
And you go outside.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit the ball around.
Right.
So that's my thing now.
I used to pitch to my son. You know where the... there's a grade school over on Indiana, and I can't remember the name of the grade school, but there's a place that I could pitch to you there. I used to have an L frame so I wouldn't get killed with the ball coming back, but you don't seem to scare me.
Oh, you'd be surprised, Glenn, when I hit that ball. It'll be out of here. And then the other thing's going fishing. This is my new other thing that I'm going to... Matter of fact, I had a caller earlier on tell me about a new fishing hole down in Delaware at the state park.
Okay.
So I'm going fishing, and I'm going to have one of those fishing days where you just, you know, you get up early, you get the tackle box, you get the rod and the reel, you know, you get in your old dirty clothes, you get in your car, you grab a radio with some batteries.
You know cars don't float.
Well, I wasn't planning on taking it into the water.
Okay, just trying to
And I'm
going to
go to a remote fishing hole.
Okay.
And put out the quilt, sit on the quilt, get the lunch.
So you're going to fish from the shore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
fish
from the shore.
You don't have a boat?
No.
Okay.
We're going to fish from the shore and going to sit there and just have a day of it.
If I buy a boat, would you want to use that?
Well, I might, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking about buying a boat, so my wife and I have something to do when we go camping.
It's fun to be out on the water.
Yeah.
You really hear it then.
You hear it?
The water.
Oh, okay.
You know, but yeah, so
you don't
this,
do a very good.
You got a problem with that? So that's my thing. So I'm looking for good fishing holes. 740-383-9944. And also this weekend, because the weather is going to be nice, since you informed me about the nice weather, this might be one of those weekends, because I cleaned my quilt last week.
Oh.
The old quilt that I take.
You need a clean quilt.
You have to have a clean quilt. I cleaned it last weekend. So what I'm going to do is there's a pond in front of where I live, and nothing more fun to do on a nice, you know, 75-degree day.
That would be good.
Getting your hoodie, get in your jeans.
Be careful of the hoodie, because you're going to have your mask on. You'll look like a bank robber.
Sure. And you take your quilt, and you go down to the pond, and you throw the quilt out on the grass, and you sit down, and you just... If you watch
space out.
Well, yeah, because the pond is great because there's no traffic in that area because there's no through road.
Mm-hmm.
And there are geese in that pond. There are ducks in that pond. The pond is shallow, but it's not shallow to the point to where if water blows, you see the water blowing on it. And there's trees around it that you hear the bristling and so on and so forth. And you go down there and you have a really good time. You have a really... A methodically brilliant time. And
so you've done this before?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. But you know, it's good to take somebody, though, because then you talk to somebody. That's when you really have open conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
Because you really have to deal with... You have nothing else to do, and you really got to deal with each other.
I used to... My athletic director used to take us up to Lake Erie every June, I think it was. And probably for 10 years we did this. And he had a friend who would loan us a boat, and it was a big boat. And we'd go out fishing, eight of us. And I'm not a big fisherman. We would always bring our fish back, and then we would have them automatically cleaned and then frozen. And then I'd let them sit in the freezer for 2 years, and we'd throw them away. But because I don't like fish. But the one thing about that was... We did really develop a fine taste for fine beer. And most of us got pretty well hammered when we would do that. Now, mind you, I don't get hammered anymore, but that was kind of the fun of going fishing, drinking.
Well, you know, that's the thing about fishing is you stay there so long. If you start early drinking, you can
8 o'clock early.
Yeah, you can get it gone by the time you're driving home. You know, you're no longer impaired.
We spent the night. We would never drive like that.
Well,
impaired.
You don't get hammered.
Well, I did.
Yeah, you don't want to get hammered. Well, you both can't get hammered.
Well, we didn't drive home after.
Right, but I say
we stayed on
if somebody's
the boat.
Driving home. Yeah, but also when you take somebody with you to the pond or to the lake to fish, if they get tiresome after a while, you can throw them in.
Now, do you go to the Delaware State Park? Is that where
I have
it is?
Been there? Yeah.
Okay, that's where my wife and I go camping. They have a really nice campground, and it's a nice park. My wife prefers that to... We've gone up to Lake Erie, we've gone to other places, but she actually prefers the 20-mile drive to go camp down there. Now, last time we were there, we went out after dark, and we were standing there, and we heard a... And I, what the heck is that? And it did it three or four times. We figured there was probably a raccoon that was not happy that we were bothering it.
There's a lot of raccoons down in Delaware.
Yes, there are a lot of raccoons.
At night.
Yeah.
Now, during the day, you're okay, usually.
Yeah. And you better get your dog in, because they will fight with dogs. We heard a dog fight with one.
Yeah. Not pleasant.
No, it was sad because it sounded like the dog was not getting the best of it.
The raccoons can be very angry.
And they have very long, sharp claws. Yeah.
And the beach down at Delaware is kind of nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it's Lake Michigan nice like the dunes. Have you ever been to the dunes?
I've been to the dunes.
Oh, that's a beautiful place for... That would be the place. My uncle-in-law owns a place that you could throw a stone to from the dunes. As a matter of fact, it's adjacent to the dunes National Park. So beautiful.
But I love to go walking on the beach.
Yeah, me
in
too.
Delaware.
I
it's
like
a, it's a big long beach,
and you can look at all the girls. Oh, that's me again. I'm sorry.
Here we go. Well, you walk along the beach, and
you don't look at the girls.
Well, if they're there, sure.
Okay.
But I'm not there for that.
I search them out.
I'm there to look at the water and see what's going on. See who's got the sailboats out there, and so on and so forth. It's a nice little area.
Have you ever been sailing?
Yes.
I love sailing. I think you know that I used to race the Chicago to Mackinac race quite often, and sailing is like that. It can put your mind in a thing. Now, when you're racing, it's a little different. But when you're just out there floating around and the wind carries you off, it's just like, what was the guy sailing, the guys that did that song? I never remember names. I'm sorry. Anyway, it's beautiful.
No, but you know, I don't know if you can go on the beaches right now. Can you?
That's a good question.
I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
I know you can go fishing.
That is a good question. I don't know if the governor has declared them off limits or not. Now, the last time we went up to Lake Erie, we weren't allowed to go into the water because there was that green crap that was floating around, the algae bloom.
You know, I've never been a huge water person to go into it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not either.
I just like, you know what I like to do? I like to go and you roll the pant legs up and you take your shoes off and you take your socks off and you just walk around.
Well, I was a lifeguard, so I had to go into it. But the reason why I was a lifeguard is so I could look at the girls.
There's a shock. There's a shocker.
That's a reoccurring problem in my life. Yes. Program.
But I don't know why, for the life of me, everybody wants to go to the beach during the day. I think going to the
sun.
Well, yeah, but at dusk, that's a really nice time. The best time. Best time.
Last night was beautiful. Did you notice how it was beautiful
last night? Yeah, but you go to the beach at dusk. And you sit there, you know, you just, like I say, you roll your pant legs up. You're not about the water at that point.
Right.
You know, you get your pant legs rolled up, you take your shoes and socks off, you sit there in the sand, and you just listen to that water. And listen, it is. And watch the sun go down.
Yeah.
And then stay into the dark. You know, as long as you're not in the water, it's not a big issue.
The only problem with dusk on the beach, there are no girls. I had to bring it back.
Oh, man.
73. Somebody's going to put me in jail.
I think it's all cranked up, Glenn. It's all cranked up. Coming up on 43 minutes past the hour here, WWGH radio time. Phone lines are open. Do you know any good fishing holes? We got that earlier on. 740-383-9944.
I know a great one. We used to own a cottage up on Crooked Lake in northern Michigan. It isn't really northern Michigan. It's about 30 miles south of the Straits. And we had some great holes where only we knew where to go catch walleye in the inland lake, and it was just fantastic. But I can't take you there anymore because I don't own the house. My sister-in-law owns the house, and she doesn't like me coming up and bugging her. So.
Oh, you have a bad relationship with the sister?
Oh, no. It's a fine relationship, but she's a neat freak. And I used to go into the cottage that we owned with sand between my toes, and that's not allowed anymore.
Oh, so she put a stop to that.
Yes. And we couldn't afford to, we shared, my sister and brother and myself, we owned it together, and we, both my sister and I, eventually sold it to my brother. Didn't get very much money for it, but anyway, we sold it to my brother, and they turned it into, I think it cost my dad $8,000 for this cottage, and it was really a big cottage. It was owned by the guy that owned Adler Socks and Frank's Spice Company. Anyway, it was a really nice place, and he put a few thousand dollars into it, and I think it's worth about $1.5 million right now.
Wow.
Yeah, it really shot up. It's on an inland lake, but it's only 8 miles from Lake Michigan, so it's a great location.
It sounds like sour grapes, Glenn.
It is.
You got sour grapes here.
Yeah, I do.
Well, and on that sour grape note, we're coming up on our last break here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't forget Glenn Coble coming up at 12 noon. Adam the Computer Guy, 2 to 3 today. And we're coming back for the home stretch. 15 minutes left when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a tick-tock. Have you heard my interviews with Phyllis Diller here on WWGH?
Have I heard it? I could recite it word for word.
Wow, Charlie, you must have a great memory.
Well, not really, but after 6,432 airings, it just becomes a part of your life. The sun comes up, the sun goes down, the moon comes out, and you hear Phyllis Diller's interview and cackle on WWGH.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
3, 2, 1. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ad Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Glenn Coble, Scott Spears with you in the home stretch today of the Charlie Evers Show, and then Glenn will be on 12:15 until 1 o'clock, and Adam the Computer Guy, 2:15 to 3 today.
I want to make it very clear to people, and I just mentioned it to you, I try not to make young ladies uncomfortable. And like I said, like I said to you, I try not to look at the girls I'm looking at. I try not to let them know that I'm noticing them. Dark glasses always help that, but I don't have very many dark glasses, so I really pretty nice guy. I leave them alone.
Well, that's the best thing to do.
Yeah,
you don't want to get in trouble,
no.
Especially when you're married.
But yes, and my wife knows that I look at other women. She also knows that I will never touch one or embarrass one. So she's cool with me sometimes, most of the time.
Well, I don't want to get into my conversation about why marriage is flawed, but I...
You're going to do it anyway, aren't
I might
you?
Anyway. Why not? Because it's just for anybody under the age of 40, I believe there's a flaw. I think most people go into it with the most altruistic ideas. I really do. I think they do. I think they go into it
too.
With the best of intentions and that this is going to be wonderful and it's going to work for this reason and it's going to be great and la-di-da. And I wish them the best. I always say, great. I never condemn somebody's marriage before they get married. But the problem is once all the hoopla is over and then you got a deal, you find out the little picadillos of
sure.
that person, and you also find out what you can stand, what you can't stand, and those things you were doing in private before become very public. And that's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. And also time. People forget that one of the big problems is the time you spend with that person.
Oh, yeah.
Or wait till a tragedy happens. Wait till they get an illness. Wait till you get an illness. Wait till they have a family member.
I think that draws you together.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I see
it's
a lot of marriages.
My family's together.
I see a lot of marriages bust up.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
Money.
Money's
oh,
a big
money's
problem.
Bad. Yeah.
And people think, oh, they'll be employed forever. Well, then somebody gets sick. And then the money stops coming in. And then you start resenting that person. That's why I don't think that anybody under the age of 40 really needs to be married anymore, because I think that the divorce rate is so high.
Yeah, I well, and you mentioned something about going into marriage with blinders on, I guess.
You do?
Yeah, but my brother, he said to my current wife, my only wife, probably less than a week before we got married, you know that Glenn's marrying you on the rebound. What a dumb thing my brother said to my future wife. And I think that's why my wife won't let me utter my previous girlfriend prior to my wife. She won't let me utter that girl's name.
Even though you've done it here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm hoping she's not listening.
Well, you know if there's something in your food, if you get ill this weekend, you'll know that she was listening.
It's not the coronavirus. It's my wife trying to do away with
me.
But a lot of people, I've always felt, and I've told my wife this, that I don't think we should have marriage. And that goes along probably with me being agnostic. I really don't think you have to be married to a person to want to spend your life with them. I really don't.
I just think it's perfectly okay to do whatever you're doing. And if you like somebody, good. If you don't, you know, whatever.
The good thing about marriage is there is a legal contract. And there are times where you need that legal contract. You need to know who's going to get the funds after you've passed. You need to know what your regulations are and what you have to do.
But can't you make out a will?
Yeah, you can make out a will. But I'm saying while you're married, there are things that you're required to do as a husband or a wife legally. And I think that's good. And it also forces you... Anytime I've ever thought I'd like to get a divorce, I say, well, that's going to take at least a year. It's going to be a pain in the neck. And I probably really don't want a divorce. I'm just mad. And it lets you get through that mad and back to loving. And I'm not sure I'm using that term very well, loving.
I don't know. I don't know. I just think, like I said, when people want to, I certainly wish them well. I hope they have a wonderful time going into the wedding. I hope they have a wonderful wedding. I hope it's just everything they want it to be and they get all the pictures. But
they're expensive.
When the honeymoon's over, Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know, you had to go to another job. Yesterday I gave the six words that Greeks use for love.
I heard a little bit of this.
Eros, philia, ludus, agape, pragma, and philiasia, whatever. But there are different meanings to it. And I think the type of love that you need for a good marriage is philia, which is the deep friendship thing.
Maybe.
I could never be married to you because our friendship isn't that deep.
It's shoddy. It's shoddy. And I don't know. You know, I don't know, though, because... I don't know. You know, because what's a friend? What's a good friend? What makes a good friend?
Of course, it depends on your definition.
Right, and you've got to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know either.
I mean, I think... Here's my thing. When I have been in relationships, I think the thing that I look for the most, or what I do the most, what I figure my part is more of a protective nature. And it's never been physical, because I've never had to go kill somebody. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about more of making them feel at ease. And not that a woman can't do that for a man, because they can. But I'm just saying, my number one goal, if I think to myself, when I lay my head on the pillow at night, if I am grading myself, am I doing this right? I base it on, is their life better than it was before they came to me? Are they
That's different than protection, though.
No, because it's financial. Are they financially better off? Are they getting to do things they wouldn't get to do if they were still alone? And it's not about big money. It's not like paying somebody, but it's just, you know, do they have a nice car? Do they not have to worry about the rent? Do they not have to? That's what I think about. I think, do they have that life that they want to? Because here's what money does. And I'm not saying you marry somebody for money, but
I did.
Well, there you go. Here's what that used to be a Joan Rivers joke. Used to be a Joan Rivers, and somebody said, "But Joan, would you ever be married again?" She would. "I would definitely marry again for love of money." And that's how it went. But no, I just think it's making sure that person, and in the relationships I was in, I always did this. If they, for example, if they wanted to go shopping on Black Friday and didn't have a lot of money, wanted to go shopping with their family, I made sure they did. If they wanted to get a car because their car was breaking down, I made sure that happened. That's what and it wasn't, you know, "Oh, I'm going to give you everything," but it was, "I want your life to be stress-free. I want you to have the ability to make the decision you want to make. If you want to work, good. If you don't want to work, you have the ability not to do that." That's what I thought protection was. And I do think they feel protected. And I think that's why I've been able to remain friends with everybody I was in a relationship with, because that was my goal with them. And I think they saw that.
Well, you know, that's interesting. My wife and I talked about that last night.
Well, there you go.
And I said to her, "Do you feel that I protect you?" And she said, "What do you mean, protect me?" Well, my type of protection is, I asked her, "Do you feel that if we had a break-in that I would stand up for you?" And she said, "Yes." Little does she know.
Be out the door.
But I think that's part of that deep friendship thing that philia talks about in the Greek word of love.
Well, to me, that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, because the best thing in life you can have is no stress.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, it's hard to get there.
Yeah.
But the less stress you can allow somebody to have, the better off their life will be.
Well, my life has been wonderful the last 3 years since I've retired because I have very little stress. My wife allows me to sit on the couch with my doggie. And I agree that that's really great. That's a great way to live, stress-free. And if you can provide that for somebody, then you are you truly care about them.
I think that's a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I do,
too. It's even hard for me to think of friends struggling. I don't like the thought of that.
Yeah,
I don't. When I know of it, I don't like it.
And, you know, sex is good, but it doesn't last. I mean, it lasts, but it doesn't... you don't wake up... When I was 21 years old, I woke up and the first thing I thought of was sex, I guess. Now that I'm 73 years old, the first thing I think of is, where's my coffee?
Going to the restroom.
Yeah, going to the John. Well, I've already done that three times during the night, so.
So there you go. No, but you do get past it at some point. And you know what? Here's how you know if you really care about somebody. Do you want to provide that? Because there are a lot of people you don't want to provide that for.
Yeah, it's so too much work.
It's too much work. And it is a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
It is a lot of work because you don't know what things exist there. So I guess that's okay. But, you know, in the end, what does it all really mean?
I don't know.
We talked about it yesterday, and I think it's true. There's a difference between being alone and lonely. And if you're not lonely, you're fine.
Do you think you should be able to expect something from somebody that you're with and that you care about? That's another thing. Do you think it's a two-way street? I personally think when I first married my wife, she had the upper hand. Now I think it's more of a two-way street, and I might have slight edge over her because I get out and about. I never think it's equal.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really expect anything, no. I never did, though. I never really did. But I was always impressed when, like, somebody made dinner or something. You know, I thought that's nice.
Yeah, I always like food, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's food a big thing.
Girls.
That's a big thing that they would, you know, they made dinner or they made something you liked. Uh-huh. I remember I had a girl who used to make grilled chicken salads, which I really like. That was a little bit of a production to make those.
Uh-huh.
But she would do it. And I don't think this is something she would make on her own. But she knew I liked it, so she would do it.
Yeah.
And I like that.
It sounds to me like you had the upper hand in that situation.
I might have had the upper hand in that particular situation.
Oh,
but that's a great thing. And, you know, they bring you diet sodas at work, and that's a whole thing. You're a happy person.
There you go, asking for a diet soda over the air.
I didn't ask for one. I just said that's what happened at one point, and it was very good.
Yeah.
But it comes back to our original conversation where a lot of this started weeks ago. Initially, these conversations started with what is the definition of love? And nobody knows.
No.
That's the problem.
I think it's defined by the love person, the person who's in love, and I think it's different for every single person.
But it all started because, like I said, I'm a WASPy family.
I still don't understand why. Okay, go ahead.
We're not affectionate.
Okay.
We're not. We're just not. We're not huggers. We're not that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just one of those things.
Okay.
We don't say I love you to each other.
Yeah, I guess I never did too. I say it now way more than I ever did when I was living at home with my mom and dad.
I don't think I say it now.
You know, one thing that I do is every night I kiss my wife, even if we've had a fight. And I do say I love you.
Wasn't that a thing? Don't go to bed angry.
Yeah, and I think I started it that way, but now it's kind of something I want to do. I want to make sure that she knows I care about her before we both.
Because one of you might not wake up in the morning.
And that happened to my father. So
yeah, and that does happen.
And I'm glad. And my mom told me. She said, at least Dad told me he loved me before he passed away. So anyway.
You know, I was just thinking what I would like my last words to be. I won't be back after this break.
My words would be, hand me the lobster.
You know, there's a thing about the person's final words. I don't think one more biscuit will kill me. What final words are those?
Loaded up with butter.
And those are our final words today. Glenn Kobel up around the corner and Adam Lepp at 2 p.m. Stay tuned.
Ohio, the place to talk. From legendary comedian Kay Ballard performing the fast food song.
Oh, there's one song that you like. I feel like, you know, fast foods have ruined the world.
Oh.
On the Champs-Élysées, on the Appian Way, there's McDonald's. By the tomb of King Tut, there's a chuck full of nuts and McDonald's. At La Scala, they sing by a big Burger King where the styrofoam boxes go sweet. What's the use? What's the hell? I just heard Taco Bell went and franchised the wing at the Louvre. You know, I could go on and on and on, but that's it. I love things that are topical and that are kind of true.
The legendary actress and the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat.
What will we do with us, for heaven's sake? Oh, it's naughty.